Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is July the 28th, 2022. It's Thursday. We're having rain finally in Kansas City. We needed the moisture. 100 degree weather, 110 on the indexes for a couple weeks. It's crazy. HARP in action. With that said, I have a guest, Professor Joel. We should call him Whistleblower because of his knowledge and what he does know and what he has done and what his friends have done and what he does on a daily basis to salvage humanity. We're going to have a general conversation. With that said, Joe, welcome.
Okay, we're here.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's begin with the weather.
Go ahead.
All right. You will have noticed, and I suggest you follow Fox News weather, because they show the flow of the jet stream. They show the air flow and which way it's going, and they show through colors the temperatures and what we now call heat domes. Now, these heat domes are created by energizing the ionosphere and then creating a block in which they can move the weather through the jet airstream. A good example of that is what's happened in St. Louis, which is 137-year flood. Where did that come from? Well, Dane Wigington says it. All they do is they take one portion from another part of the weather map, put it with another portion, and create delusion. And that's exactly what happened to St. Louis.
Now, this is all HARP-based, which was put up in Alaska and towers in Florida and different places around the planet that they could use. And the first time they did it, Super Spook Otis Johnson, I asked him, I said, what the hell happened with the weather? Because the jet stream dropped it. It tilts from northwest to, comes down the Midwest and goes back up to the Northeast. It dropped, which had never done before that I'd ever seen, living in the Midwest, Kansas City area. But it dropped down into Texas and Oklahoma. It went that far south, over Oklahoma, over Texas, did $2.5 billion worth of damage to crop. So I'm on the phone with Otis the next day or the following day. I said, what did they do? He said they just tested their new HARP. And he said they drugged the jet stream down. I said, what the fuck? Because it's cold in Kansas City. And I said, what's this all about? And he said, oh, yeah, now they're going to do weather wars, weather modification, with this HARP crap they come up with. But I was way back. Thought I'd throw that in there, Joe, for people to understand. And I said, well, when are they going to put it back to normal? He said, oh, a couple, 3 days. They don't want to make it too obvious. That's how much information I always have had, folks. Go ahead, Joe.
So the HARP is what we call an array of antennas in which you create high voltage and high amps. That heat is pointed in a certain direction, which heats up the ionosphere, and that way that heat causes the cooler air to go in a different direction. And so you have, for years now, you have this ridge, a high-pressure ridge that sits off the coast of Oregon and Washington and Vancouver. And what it does is that it places the rain, which should go to the Pacific Northwest, into other areas or dissipates it. In other words, to create drought. So we have now in the West a 12-year drought. If they can heat up the air so hot, they create heat domes.
Remember,
opening over Kansas City and Kansas and Oklahoma, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. And the air becomes absolutely dry in a tinderbox. And what is it that they're after? To create forest fires, like took place in a town east of Grant. And think it's Grant, Oregon. And it became so hot, it started a forest fire and burnt down 3,000 homes and businesses. And what they do is the globalist will send in an insurance agent, like Fruit Farmers. They'll say to the owner of the property, let us put your insurance policy for fire and auto and flooding under one payment. Oh, hey, that's great. So what happens is that it comes underinsured. Like, for instance, in one house, the valued property was, when it was built, was at $475 a foot. Well, guess what? The insurance agent came up and said, to rebuild your house, it's going to take $745. So that puts the homeowner into a pickle, and they can't rebuild the house, so they condemn the property and sell the property for pennies on the dollar, and people like Larry Mizell and BlackRock and Vanguard come up and buy the property for pennies on the dollar, which forces people from small towns into the large towns because they have to have housing. So what we're doing here is we're watching a social genocide of those things that you need as a necessity to continue on your daily thing, like housing, like food, like medical care, and to be able to do things like repair on your house, etc., etc. You have that pulled out from under you. And all the structures and strictures that go to back that up are decoupled. So as that brings us to Klaus Schwab, who now says, you will own nothing, you will rent, and you will eat bugs and insects. How
now,
can that be?
Before
well,
you get into Klaus Schwab.
So, what they do is they'll go to in Holland and say, and this is also taking place in Europe, they'll say to the Holland farmer, you have to get rid of 30% of your cattle because they are putting a carbon footprint, which is causing a climate change, which absolutely then bankrupts the farmer. They come in, buy farmer's land for pennies on the dollar, impoverish everybody, and guess what? You're going to get bugs and insects.
Clark Land Company was one of them folks. Clark Land Company out of Colorado. Go ahead.
So the point being here is that we are seeing first a genocide of the white man, the white culture. That's tier one. Then with the flooding that's happening down on the border, where you had over 1.7 million come through, just walk across the border into the United States. The same thing has been happening to Europe, which absolutely bankrupts everything. And now we have, they now know without a doubt what the biological, that so-called self-styled vaccine, which it is not, we will have a living time maybe between 3 to 5 years. 80% of the population of the United States has now been inoculated. Those people are not going to be around in 5 years.
They're going to go batshit crazy in the meantime is what's going to happen. Go ahead, Joe.
So the point being here is that not only are they doing it to the adult, they're doing it to the kids. So pretty soon there's not going to be anybody except for a few. And then they will be able to have their earth, Tikkun HaOlam, the repair of the earth, these globalists like Schwab, like Noah Harari, like the Gulas, like the Rothschilds, and the City of London, we are going to go back to an oligarch system to where there will be a decrease in the population, and those that survive will get peanuts off the table. So there it is, folks. through the weather, through the shift of the population, through the decoupling of business, through the impoverishment of white civilization, which is the cornerstone of civilization, which has brought all of this technology to the world that has extended life. So there you have it in a nutshell. So go ahead, Stu.
Hey, you said it all in 10 minutes, Joe. 10 and a half minutes. You said it all. We can conclude it right now, but I don't want to. Now, I want to back up a minute. This is reality, folks, what Joe's telling you. He has as much wisdom and knowledge as I have, and probably a lot more. He's older than I am. He's in his 80s. I'm in my 60s. Or he's in his 70s, excuse me. About 10 years older than I am, and I'm 68. So, here's the deal. 38 years as a whistleblower this year, August, as a whistleblower, started then with Nutcase I was married to. But that was George Herbert Walker Bush's partner. That's the reason I bring up Denver all the time. Leonard Millman owned Silverado Savings and Loan. His goon, Larry Mizell, who was in Millman inhabited by the fallen angel, but we're going to explain the inhabitation for a moment. Joe's going to explain it to you. But control, as Otis Johnson Super Spook said, there's 200,000 of them registered with the National Security Agency, top secret check, folks. 10 million aliens created in Hope, Arkansas, created. And Otis said, and his buddy said, at a pool party I attended and barbecued for him. Enjoyed a few cold brews. Slept in the guest bedroom so I didn't have to drive down the street. Anyway, the point was, I heard a conversation. I said, Jesus Christ. They thought it was more like 20 to 30 million had been cloned in Hope, Arkansas, where they brought the Nazi scientists from World War II, and Joe's going to explain that connection. And that ties with John Lear, my friend who's now dead recently, 6 months ago. They screwed with him to the end of his life. He was always constantly monitored and messed with, whistleblower. He brought Bob Lazar, that worked at Area 51, Papoose Lake, Nevada, where my friend Ed Slade, the scientist, worked. People I've come to know. John's father built 150 flying saucers when he sold Learjet in 1952 and took it under contract from 1952 to 58. Then he spoke to a couple people that he knew in Washington what he was doing, and it was the end of his career. It cut him short by a year because he mouthed off about the 150 flying saucers they had built for the U.S. arsenal. The Joe can explain, which is part of the Federation that we talked about in the previous show. Now, you brought up something, Joe, called the dome. These heat domes. HAARP is part of it, but here's another part of it. It deals with satellites, folks. The company that my father worked for, top secret, I've never revealed, except what I've been told by spooks, and he shit his pants when Otis sat across from him in his living room, taking me out to dinner on his way through Kansas City from E-Systems, Dallas, Texas, after Casey got murdered, and Otis was his assistant. Otis was in jail with me, busting the Louisiana governor, pretending to be a prisoner in Denver, Colorado. His roommate was the guy that busted John Gotti. I came to know a lot of people locked up with 1,500 Iran-Contra players and all their knowledge. There's 7 books written about me, or I'm in 7 books. My name appears, I think, in 5 of them, but I contributed 7 books total. No. My knowledge. Joe has equivalent knowledge, folks, and beyond me when it comes to the spacecraft and the outer space stuff. Him and a few other friends have woken me up in the past couple, 3, 4 years to reality. It's that heavy duty. Now, Joe, you spoke of the dome, these heat domes. My father trained from Bendix Corporation, Kansas City. He was the one in charge of quality reassurance, they call it. Reassurance, quality reassurance. He trained Department of Energy inspectors on how to cut their people down to 150 that Bendix had in Kansas City of government toys, period. All kinds of stuff. But he trained Department of Energy inspectors before his retirement at Los Alamos for 6 weeks, how to cut it down where they're not having all these extra government employees, 150. And they did it. And he was successful. And then he went back and did his role there in his shift, which he was in charge of. Everything that left the plant had to have his signature. So I know things. But it wasn't from him. I used to ask him as a kid, what do you do for a living? About 12, 13 years of age. Cups, saucers, and spoons. I said, you're lying to me. I'm hearing other things. I'm opening up the mail. Bendix letter. Unclassified. 10 years later. Says right there in the Bendix open letter that the mailman used to read because the staple was pulled out of it. I'd grab the mail coming in out of school and I'd set it down on the console where they wanted the mail put, my parents. But I'd read that. Satellites, all kinds of toys, unclassified. I read it, folks, as a kid. Now, I'm 68 years of age, 68 this month, just passed it. I read that stuff since I was 13 years of age until I was 17 when I went in the Marine Corps. Here's the point. I read a lot of shit. Every month, month after month, there's toys out here called the Dome. Israel said that they've used the Dome several times to prevent terrorist attacks upon their country, missile attacks. They found out it really doesn't work, Joe. So what are they using it for? Your heat domes, you spoke of it, Joe. Now, Joe, pick it up from there, will you?
What is being alluded to here is, this is from gathering the other whistleblowers, piecing this knowledge together. It's not that I'm anything special, I'm just like you, but I had the time and the research techniques of where to go and where to look and where to ask questions on the internet. And so what we have, essentially, is we have a technology developed by groups within the world community, but specifically the United States, of high technology. And I'll give you an example of where do I get these things? Well, I was on the other end of the phone line when Stu was talking to Ed Slade, who was an Area 51 scientist. It was verified by Stu that it was true. He was an Area 151 scientist. And he was one of six scientists that worked with the aliens. So you have this group out there of UFOologists who say we've never been to the moon. No, we've been to the moon. We're on the moon. As Ben Leach has said, who is the CEO of Lockheed Martin, said, we have been out to the stars and back and everything in between on his deathbed.
By the way, you brought up Ed's name. He was the one credited. He was at NASA down there when they launched it and landed on the moon. He was the one credited for the jet propulsion system that never blew anything off the moon. So he knew that they used alien technology, and he demanded to be on the aircraft carrier when they picked the people back up out of the ocean when they landed back in the craft and examined it. He said they used anti-gravity. Go ahead, Joe.
So when you have Ed Slade saying, I created a covering made out of gold that covered the bottom of the module so that when they would take off, they could do so, and the rocks that would come up would not inhibit the working of the engine. Now, if you have a discerning eye, you look very carefully at the takeoff, and you will see a light, a shadowing of the light change, but you will not see dust kick up. Why? Because what lifted the lunar module off was an anti-gravity machine. Say, oh, the question is, well, how did they get beyond the Van Allen belt? With the help of the aliens. That's how they did it. How do we know that? Because Ed Slade said, we work with the aliens. And people like William Tompkins, Selected, in his book, Selected, has said the same thing, but it was more from the Navy side rather than from the Air Force side of things. So there's this high technology. We've been out there and back. When we first landed on the moon, which we did, there was a secret transmission of which I read the transmission of where there were anti-gravity machines sitting on the rim with their astronauts saying, sir, they're looking at us. Sir, they're looking at us. Who was looking at them? The aliens. Yeah. So, as Tompkins has said,
aliens, folks, are the fallen angels.
Hang on. The moon is not solid. It's hollow. And it is a meeting place. It is a meeting place between the different factors that exist out in the solar system. So we have a breakaway civilization like that. Catherine Austin Fitz has said there is a breakaway civilization. They are at least 100 years ahead in what the public is allowed to know. And we are seeing the diminishing of mankind on this earth.
Now, I want to mention Catherine Austin Fitz for a minute, Solari.com. She was sent in when I caused the HUD scandal off of Wall Street. In 1989 was the year I caused Milman stealing from HUD, my in-law. Her father-in-law, supposedly. He wouldn't need father-in-law or me. Anyway, here's the point. She was sent in to clean up after HUD hearings. Before I was illegally held as a political prisoner, met Otis Johnson and all these other super spooks, 1,500 Iran-Contra players, Bob Hunter, captured Noriega, the list went on. Books have been written. Drugging America, most of the people that were in jail with me are in that book by Rodney Stitch. If you punch in, I think his daughter's still selling all the books, but defrauding America. But Catherine was in a book by Yuri DeBankel, because of me, called Bushwhacked. It's on Amazon. My name's in there, her name's in there. I tried to help her. She had left HUD because of the football player that was put in charge after Pierce went to jail, that I helped put in jail. Or yeah, he got jail time. Anyway, the point was, the Denver connection was all covered up, and Phil Wynn, that was on the board of directors of MDC Holdings at Silverado, was its parent company. Silverado's a subsidiary of, he's on the board of directors with Larry Mizell and all the boys and Brownstein and the whole bit, Norman, who was CIA attorney to Daddy Bush in 1975. Milman hired these two goons, Mizell and Brownstein, out of law school in 72. One, he set up building apartments in HUD. The other was his corporate attorney. And still is a record. Look up Dominion Software on stuweb.com and see it goes to his address. Here's the point. The Denver connection was very severe with Austin, Catherine. Because when she left HUD, after not being able to do her job and clean up what I had exposed, she ended up being pushed out and fired, basically, by Jack Kemp. A football player, who was running HUD then for the criminals, the Clintons, Bush, Milman. She There was something Al Gore did, the only thing he did really, during his vice presidency, was able to get a program through that if you could save the government money, you get a portion of the savings you can prove. Well, she came up with, and they owed her, fuck, I forgot what it was. Wait a minute. About $30 million, I think it was, something like that. People could ask her. Something like that. So, she was in court, couldn't get anything done. She had contacted me, and the whole bit, she knew who I was. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know she was the one even appointed at the time, but it turned out to be all true. Well, I ended up hooking her up with Al Martin, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, and Stephen Dinerstein, who was the one that busted Martin, made him turn in 1986 and become the whistleblower. Stephen Dinerstein, great guy, and he's Department of Defense, Inspector General's office, caused Iran-Contra with Martin, turned against the Bushes, and then they tried to kill Al. I helped Al get his website up, almartinraw.com. He's dead today. Yuri DeBanco turned out to be a Israeli stooge. We'll leave it at that, but his book does have some good stuff in it. Al's book, The Conspirators. Now, Catherine Austin Fitz Dinerstein went into private practice as a PI after leaving the Department of Defense, and he made a deal with Catherine. Tried to make the deal. He figured out a way to get her $1 million, squeezing the government in her pocket. Drop your attorney. Here's $1 million. She didn't do it. She ended up settling for a few hundred thousand, is what I heard, with her attorney. About a year later. But that's where I know Catherine from. And you mentioned Catherine in the website. She's a great gal. Go ahead, Joe.
The connection between the aliens and the people on Earth. In other words, what is the structure for? The structure for it is underground, basically. I'll give you a good example. Why is it that so much that went on during the Bush administration, Clinton administration, the Reagan administration, why did you have the influence of Denver? And the reason for it is that under Denver is the Argos apparatus. In other words, the underground caverns, 1 mile down, that stretches from Cinder, Colorado, all the way down to Pikes Peak. And that is where the aliens are. And that is why people like the Vice President Cheney would go and disappear, go to the Federal Center, go down an elevator, go down the tunnels, and then meet up with and see and meet up with the aliens.
Adams Smart Hotel, the Denver Tech Center. Go ahead, Joe.
That is, so there is this entire underground facility that stretches for all of that length, and it's, now, folks, you got to think of the surface of the Earth, then the inner surface. In other words, draw two circles, one on inside the other, and between the two circles is 850 miles. There is no mantle. It's like Swiss cheese. That's it. It's not the inner Earth. It is the section from the surface of the Earth to the inner Earth, of which there is the other civilization called Agartha.
And there's a sun in there, and the Denver is a hollow, big, huge opening, one of the largest on the planet. There's the South Pole, the North Pole, Australia, and they're in Argo, as far as I know, that goes to the center of the Earth. Now, I've witnessed the Aurora airplane. It flies 36,000 miles an hour. They call it the Blue Light Special, coming in behind Pikes Peak. In Center, Colorado. If you've never been there, folks, you ever go to Colorado on vacation, drive up through Center, Colorado behind Pikes Peak and go back up into the mountain range behind Denver. It's one of the best views of all the mountains. I mean, it is incredible. nobody ever really looks at it. But there's a dome back there behind Pike's Peak, or not a dome, but a pyramid built by Anschutz that runs the pyramid, or runs the Old Navarre now for Milman, as his loan company set up there, an old museum across from Brown Palace where they do the human sacrifice. But here's the point. The guy that was in charge for the Central Intelligence Agency was brought to me by a deputy sheriff in Colorado. Brought to me. Bush was trying to take over the place, force him to handle control over to him for the Argo Tunnel. The whole place, part of Clear to the Glory Hole Mine, they call it, up in Central Colorado where the gambling is and casinos. Now, from there all the way to Pike's Peak is how long this place is. I saw the drawings, folks. I couldn't make any copies. I sat there and had dinner with him and looked at the whole damn place. It is incredible what that thing is. They got the Western White House, the Western Capitol, everything. Now, he was wanting me to do, because I was, you know, doing radio shows, everybody else, and said before I started doing my own, and I'm doing one in Colorado with somebody. He wanted me to bring up that fact that I had seen what is there without spilling too much guts. The next day, because he was trying to get Bush to back off, the next day he was beat up with two goons, big goons, with a ball-peen hammer, beat on his spine and cracked three or four of his vertebrae. But he kept control of the place. Go ahead, Joe. Joe, are you there? Joe? Hold on, folks. I'm going to have to get Joe back. I'm going to stop the recording for a minute. Okay, we got Joe back, folks.
All right, so let's continue on down the road here.
Yes.
So not only do you have the airport drawings or murals, which are a reflection of the entire system that exists under Denver. But this is an example.
They call it the Western White House.
Hang on, Steve. Where you have all of these underground civilizations, otherwise civilization, underground facilities that are huge, huge. And if you go back to conspiracy theory with Jesse Ventura, we went and interviewed truck drivers that were bringing in food into these tunnels in Arkansas. We talked to one driver, and he said, if I wanted to, I could go through the network of tunnels all the way from Arkansas to New York City. So, consequently, hang on, go take over, sir. Let me take care of this dog.
Joe, you want to check it out, what the dog's barking about? Hang on, folks. Okay, we got Joe back. Go ahead, Joe.
So that is the meaning of Denver. And these underground facilities are vast. And they've been there for hundreds of years, not just a few years.
It's and the planet was made this way.
So consequently, this is where you get into the fallen angel alien thing. And I think we need to bring this to an end, because I've got to take care of some stuff for us, Stu.
Okay.
Okay. And then we can maybe take it up at another time.
Yeah, we can pick it up another time. But the big thing is, we started off with the weather and what they're doing, and they're able to create these heat domes over different parts of the planet. That's what we're burning up from. They're able to create this. So, and they're doing weather wars, as Otis Johnson used to call it, because of after the hit, it was either Joplin or Springfield, Missouri that was wiped out. 8 out of 10 people in southeast Missouri. That was the first weather war. Because I called Otis up, and we'll end it here in a moment, Joe. But I called him up and said, that was hard to hit that fucking place. He said, yeah. He said, Daddy Bush and his weather wars now. He said, they're going to wipe out entire cities. 8 out of 10 people. They found paper 500 miles away in St. Louis on the other side of the state that belonged to people that were in those homes that were ripped apart that Daddy Bush set his weather war harp off on. Then in Florida here, what, 2-3 years ago, Joe, hit the southeast corner in Florida in the panhandle, hit down in there and wiped out 8 out of 10 people are still missing folks. This is what they're doing with these tornado activity. Harp. Watch it. It turns counterclockwise and comes back and bites you. Joe, any last word?
No, that's it, really.
Thank you, sir, very much, and we'll do it again.